Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. I know some of you are probably sick of Christmas at this point. We'll talk about that in a sec. My name is Mike. Hello, good morning. I'm the pastor here at Trinity. This morning, if you have a Bible, I'd like to invite you to open it to Psalm 147. If you don't have a Bible, please don't hesitate to hop up and grab one from the stack in the back. You can find Psalm 147 on page 493 in the church Bibles. If you've been around Trinity for a little while, you'll know that I love the church calendar. And so while many of us are sick of Christmas because it's been Christmas, it seems like, since before Halloween, at least according to Target and Walmart, in the church calendar, we're just getting started with Christmas. In fact, there are 12 days of Christmas. Yes, the song comes from the church calendar, the 12 days of Christmas. The Christmas season, according to the church calendar, runs from Christmas to Epiphany, which is that day when we remember the wise men bringing their presents to Christmas, 12 days. So today is the first Sunday of Christmas. Next Sunday will be the second Sunday of Christmas. And I love the 12 days of Christmas. They're fantastic. I've not yet convinced my wife that we should milk Christmas morning for 12 days and do 12 days of presents, because I think she's like a "we've reached Thanksgiving, it's Christmas time" person. And I'm like, "we've reached Thanksgiving, it's Advent time." We're working on that in our marriage. In our school and work calendars, it's not Christmas. It's like a weird sort of in-between period, isn't it? Like, school is out. Many of us still have work, like, kind of. But many of our workplaces have, like, half shut down. Or it's like a work-from-home week or some sort of weird in-between. We're post-Christmas, but we're not yet to the new year. And so what I'd like to do for these two Sundays of Christmas is to spend two Sundays looking at the appointed psalms for the day. And so this week, we'll look at the second half of Psalm 147. Next week, we'll look at Psalm 84. And Psalm 147 is going to help us to look backward this last year. Psalm 84, I hope, will help us to look forward into the next year. But first, let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the opportunity to gather and worship. Thank you for my brothers and sisters here, still in town. And I pray now that as we turn our attention to your scriptures, God, that as my words line up with your words, that they would fall on ears and hearts ready to receive them and respond. And God, I pray if I say anything that isn't from you, that those words would quickly be forgotten. And I pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Psalms have been the prayer book of God's people for thousands of years. The Psalms are the prayers that Jesus would have prayed. It's why here at Trinity, we pray a psalm or a portion of a psalm together every Sunday. We read a psalm or a portion of a psalm responsively, because we believe that the words that we say and pray and sing form us, and that the Psalms are God-inspired prayers that God uses and has used to form his people. The Psalms cover all sorts of topics and situations and emotions. They help us to pray when things are going well. They help us to pray when things aren't going well. They help us express anger and frustration to God, even as they help us remember and celebrate and express joy. They help us to confess our sins and to celebrate. A whole gamut of human emotions and experiences, the Psalms help us to pray. And Psalm 147, which we read the second half of together just a moment ago, helps us to praise God. There are two Hebrew words that anchor this psalm of praise, and that's where we'll start this morning. If you have a Bible open, this will be helpful, because these words and phrases that anchor the psalm aren't actually in the appointed section. the first bookends the psalm. It's how the psalm starts and how it ends. So if you've got a Bible open, take a look. Verse 1 and then verse 20. How does Psalm 147 start and how does it end? Somebody tell me. Yes, Ava. Wrong, kind of. He's cheating because he's looking at my sermon notes on the slides. Yes, Nora. Praise the Lord. That's how it starts. Now that phrase, praise the Lord, is translated in, well, it's actually a Hebrew word. And this is where he cheated. If you're looking at an English Bible, it doesn't say hallelujah. It says praise the Lord. But the phrase in the original Hebrew is actually a single word. In Hebrew, that word is hallelujah. We get the word praise. That's from the Hebrew verb halal. And then Jah, or Yah, which is shorthand for God's name, Yahweh. And so when we say, praise the Lord, what we are in effect saying is, y'all, it's usually second person plural and a command, y'all praise the Lord, or let us praise the Lord. The hallelujah bookend reveals the purpose of Psalm 147, to help God's people praise God. Now there's a second Hebrew word right in the middle of the psalm, serving as a transition point between the first part of the psalm and the second part of the psalm, which we're looking at today. It's one of the most common words in all of the New Testament. It's one of my favorite words in all of the New Testament. You can find it in verse 11. I don't believe that you're not cheating. Somebody look at verse 11. Anyone want to guess what that word is? It's one of the most common words in the Old Testament. Any takers? What? Jesus. Good guess. No, Jesus is not literally in verse 11, although verse 11 maybe points to Jesus. Steadfast love. Steadfast love. That phrase, steadfast love, is a word in Hebrew called hesed. Some of you probably know this. In English, it's usually translated as steadfast love, or sometimes loving kindness, sometimes just love. We sang it last week, if you were here last Sunday, straight out of one of my favorite little sections of scripture in Lamentations 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never come to an end. Word hesed. Steadfast love, loving kindness. It could be translated love or goodness or faithfulness or kindness or mercy. All of those words wrapped up in one word to describe God's love for his people. Love, kindness, grace, mercy, goodness. That's hesed. It's one of the most amazing words in the Bible, and I think it serves as an anchor for Psalm 147. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, who hope in his steadfast love. Or to say it another way, because that phrase, the idea of fearing God, can be a bit challenging for us nowadays. So here's my translation. The Lord takes pleasure in those who take him seriously, who hope in his hesed, his love, goodness, kindness, and faithfulness. The truth of the matter is that we sometimes struggle to take God seriously. We're so easily distracted, so easily disappointed. And as we've talked about much this past Advent, we too quickly put our hope in all sorts of people and things other than the hesed of God. This psalm, I think, can help reorient us. It can help us take God seriously, and it can reorient us towards God's steadfast love. It can help us praise him no matter our current circumstances. This is what psalms do. Psalms help us to pray, and in doing so, rightly orient us towards God. Of course, we can and we should and we do pray Psalms as written. We do it each and every week together here at Trinity as a church. But part of the gift of written prayers that have stood the test of time, and especially the Psalms, which are prayers inspired by God, straight from the Word of God, is that they provide a template for us, for our own prayers. And so this week, the week in between Christmas and New Year's, is the perfect week to look back and reflect. And so here's what I'd like us to do this morning. I know for many of you, 2024 has had its ups and its downs. There have been wonderful things, and there have been challenging and trying things. Many of us are bringing all sorts of stuff into the end of one year and the beginning of the next year. So here's what I'm hoping for us this morning, is that the second half of Psalm 147 might serve as a guide or a template to help us look back at 2024 and remember what God has been up to. To use it as a prayer journaling exercise, if you will, to help us see how God has been at work and to give him praise for it, no matter what 2024 has been like for you. I thank God for the gift of another year. My hope is that as we use Psalm 147 as a template to look back at what God has been up to, in the good, the bad, and the in-between, that it might grow in us hope in the steadfast love of God. So look with me, starting at verse 12. I realize that's a long introduction, so we're going to move pretty quickly here. Starting in verse 12, Psalm 147 helps us to praise God for his work. And first, with a call to praise in verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise your God, O Zion. And then, this is what the first couple verses are. Oh, there we go. Psalm 147 helps us praise God for his work, and then praise God for his word. Praise God for his work and praise God for his word. Look at verse 13. Psalm 147, verse 13. He strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. Now, there's some debate as to who is truly the author of Psalm 147. Some think it was King David, following the refortification of Jerusalem. Some think it was Nehemiah, or someone else at the time of Nehemiah, praising God following the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Either way, the psalm here is designed to help God's people praise God for his protection. That's the first thing. Praise God for his protection. To praise him for the ways that he's kept them safe. Both their home, praising him for the strengthening of the gates, and the ways he's protected the children within the home. So that's the first question I'd like to invite you to consider this week. As you look back on 2024, how has God protected you this year? Has he protected your home, your loved ones? For me, just thinking about this briefly, 2024, certainly the fall of 2024, was a lot of illness. Just this fall in our house, we had a strep throat, we had a bronchitis, and we had a pneumonia. And yet here we are, the end of 2024, healthy and whole, praise the Lord. And that was God protecting us this year. How has God protected you, your home, your loved ones this year? That's the first thing. We praise God for his protection. Next, the psalm praises God because he makes peace in your borders. If you're following along, that's the first half of verse 14. Psalm 147 praises God for his protection, and next the psalm praises God for his peace. The Hebrew word here for peace is shalom. And it can be translated all sorts of ways, as favor or welfare or health or prosperity. But behind all of these potential translations is an idea that holds them all together. And that idea is wholeness, or the way things ought to be, good and right and full. Now, of course, the world is still broken. There's all sorts of hurt, messiness. We see that all the time. Pain, sin is present, to be sure. But I think if we look closely at our lives, that there are moments where it all seems right. put back together, whole. That's shalom. Last week, we saw it in Micah 5, the promise that Jesus would be our peace. And so, when we see these moments in our lives and in our families and in our church where things are right and whole and as they should be, these moments of shalom, we're seeing Jesus at work by the power of his Holy Spirit. We see God making shalom in our borders. Here's one example I've seen in our church in this last year in 2024. Every week, we see kids and teenagers up front leading us in worship, helping with prayers, reading scriptures. And every week, when we see that up there, I think to myself, this is how it should be. It's not how most churches operate, but it's right. I'm more and more convinced it's how the body is meant to operate, truly intergenerationally, where young people are encouraged to use their gifts just as the more, shall we say, experienced parishioners are encouraged to use their gifts. And it's God who's done that in our midst, who's formed us to be the sort of church where kids are just as included, perhaps even more so in some ways, than adults. So here's the question I think is worth considering. In 2024, where have you seen God make peace or shalom in this past year? Where have you seen the sort of wholeness in your life, your family, that could only come from God? Oh, it's so good for us in the midst of the messiness of this world to slow down long enough and actually consider, God, where have you done that this past year? And then it's worth praising him for it. And then look at the second half of verse 14. It says, he fills you with the finest of wheat. And so the psalm praises God for his protection. It praises God for his peace, and then it praises God for his provision. Literally here, the psalm is thanking God for delicious food that nourishes us and fills us, the finest of wheat. It's thanking God for giving us what we need, for giving us this day our daily bread. So here's the question. I'd like to invite you to consider this year. How has God provided for you? How has he provided for your family? How has he provided for our church? These first verses help us to praise God for his work, to remember the ways that he's provided for us, that he's made peace for us, that he's protected us, and in doing so, to give him the praise that he deserves. The second half of the psalm helps us praise God for his word. Look at verse 15. The psalm says, he sends out his command to the earth, his word runs swiftly. The psalm starts here, verse 15, with an acknowledgement that God still speaks, and that when he speaks, it's as good as done. He's not a silent God nor an inactive God. When he speaks, things happen. They change. And this psalm helps us to praise God for that. Now, look at verse 16. The psalm says, he gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? This is God's word at work in creation. Genesis 1 tells us that God spoke the world into being, and we can still see his word at work in today. We see it in the snow, which he sends, in the cold, and in the ice, which he sends. We can see it in the ways sunlight glances off of Burke Lake differently every hour of the day, or through the trees. That's the result of God speaking. We can hear it in the bird song or the friendly bark of a dog. That's the result of God's word at work. In every sunrise and sunset, in every mountain peak, in every valley, it's all the work of God's word. And Psalm 147 helps us to praise him for it. I was thinking about this for me this last year. There are countless moments where I was outside and wow, like God has given this to us. There's one moment that stands out in particular. It was during the gift of a pastor's trip to Colorado this past year. We camped at 1,000 feet up in the Rockies. And I headed out one afternoon up towards the Continental Divide. I was off trail, all right? And up each and every little rise in the valley, I was thunderstruck by something new. I get up a little rise and suddenly there's a lake that I didn't know existed right there. And up another little rise and there's a herd of elk, for crying out loud. And then finally, up the final ridge to the Great Divide, and there's an entire other valley that I didn't even know existed. No trails, just there. Maybe the only person who saw that valley that day. And I remember coming up that final ridge, and I got to the top. I was with a friend, and he took a video of me running up to the top, and I burst out in laughter. I couldn't believe that God had done this. And then we sang the doxology, because it didn't matter what words I said, they weren't going to be enough. That's God's work, God's word at work in creation. Of course, he was just as present in reflections on Burke Lake, which I laughed probably 30 times this past year, or a summer thunderstorm. How about you? Our lives move so fast. It's easy when you're on vacation at 11,000 feet. But every day, God is at work out there. We're just not paying attention to it. And the psalm helps us to slow down, to pay attention. Reminds us, where have you seen God's word at work in creation this year? So that's a question for you to consider this in-between week. Where have you seen God's word at work in creation? Now, I love how the psalm flows here. It acknowledges that God brings the winter and praises him for it. And then it acknowledges that God brings the spring too. Look at verse 18. He sends out his word and he melts the ice. He makes the wind blow and the waters flow. The psalm is helping God's people. It's helping us praise God for his word at work in the seasons. Now, I know the psalm is talking about the literal seasons here, winter and then spring. And we should 100% praise God for that. The Lord knows. Most of us are ever so grateful when winter finally turns into spring here in Virginia for good. I mean, first we have to get through first spring, and then the big snowstorm that follows that, and then second false alarm spring, and the snowstorm that follows that, and then finally we get to third spring and a week of pollen explosion. And then once our lungs have gotten used to the pollen, we're at real spring. Everything is budded. Leaves are green. Oh, I'm so thankful for that change of the season and the burst of color and warmth that spring, when it finally arrives for good, brings. But the psalm also got me thinking, praising God in my own life for the gift of metaphorical seasons. For certain seasons of family life and church life and work life. The challenges that each of those seasons brings, because they do, but also the gift of those seasons. For particular seasons of friendship, or for the seasons in the church calendar and the ways it helps me to pray, for the rhythms of life that God has given us and the gift that they are. This psalm helped me consider the seasons of life I've experienced this past year. This particular season of marriage and parenting, this season with our church. Each season comes with its own unique sets of challenges and heartbreaks, lessons and opportunities, joys and delights. And every time the season changes, we leave something behind, which is worth naming and sometimes grieving. And every time the seasons change, God brings us forward into something new, which likewise is worth naming and celebrating. And as such, is worth considering, pondering, remembering, worth slowing down to reflect on, and so worth inviting God into. Seeing as the psalm explicitly reminds us that the seasons are a gift of God, that his word is at work in the changing of the seasons. And as such, God is worthy of our praise for it. And so here's the question. As 2024 comes to a conclusion, how has God met you in the changing seasons of life this past year? Lastly, Psalm 147 helps us to praise God for his word spoken to his people. Look at verse 19 and 20. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. God has not dealt with thus with any other nation. They don't know his rules, his commands. God spoke in a unique way to the Israelites, and the result is the gift of his scriptures. It's a gift for his people. His word to Jacob, his statutes, rules, commands for Israel. God's word, a gift for God's people. And because of the person and work of Jesus, all who believe in him, all who believe in him are included in that promise. We receive the gift of the scriptures through faith. And the Bible reveals to us the person and work and character of Jesus, teaches us how to faithfully follow him, living rightly as the people of God. And what a gift his scriptures are. Verse 19 and 20 help us to praise God for his word spoken to his people and given to us. And so here's one final question for you to consider as we wrap up 2024. Is how has God spoken to you? How has he spoken to us since these psalms are written to be prayed in community this year? When and where and how have you heard his voice? Has he spoken to you through the scripture this year? Challenged you to change? Met you in the scriptures in your place of need? So there we have it. An invitation in Psalm 147 to praise God, to hope in his steadfast love. An invitation for us, the end of this year, to pause and reflect and to pray, to remember how God has met us in this past year and all the challenges that this past year have brought, and to praise God for them. Oh, I hope you will carve out 15 or 30 minutes this week to remember and reflect. In fact, here's what I'll do. I'll send an email to our church newsletter tomorrow with this template right there, okay? And if you actually do it, would you reply to that email, please? Send me a quick note. What stood out to you? How has God met you this past year in his work and in his word? What was it like for you reflecting? I would love that. Pastors, sometimes we stand up here like 40, 50 times a year and we say some things that hopefully are true and encouraging. And sometimes people tell us, and sometimes they say, that was a nice sermon. And you're like, I don't know what that means. All sorts of things. But I think it's worth it for us to consider this past year how God has met us. And then even if you don't email it back to me, would you share it with somebody else, right? With a spouse, with a friend at the dinner table. How has God met you this year in his word and in his work? Let me just encourage you, don't float through this coming week just watching football and finishing off Christmas cookies, okay? Although probably for many of you, there will be plenty of both of those things, and that's fine. Instead, also perhaps spend some time with God reflecting on what he's been up to in your life, in your family, in our church. Prepare your heart for 2025. Will you stand and pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for the gift of the Psalms and the ways that they help us to pray. God, I do pray for us this week that you would help each of us to carve out some space to reflect, to finish 2024 well. God, would you remind us of where you've been at work in the world and in our lives, where your word has been at work. Would you do that in us, I pray, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.